We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I've got a special treat for you today. I am going to be joined by the winningest coach in any division in NCAA softball history. That is Michigan women's softball coach Carol Hutchins. I can't wait to get a chance to talk to her. I know you're excited to listen to her. They are coming off their 22nd Big Ten championship, preparing for the regionals out in Seattle. We'll have that conversation next on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, John Jensen.
I'm now joined here on Conquering Heroes with yet another Big Ten champion head coach, and that is Carol Hutchins, who's been at it for nearly four decades here in Ann Arbor. The success of this Michigan softball program is almost immeasurable. Most wins by any coach in NCAA softball history. Hutch, thanks for joining me, and I know that you guys have a lot of work to do, but if you look back on your season, how does it feel to win another Big Ten championship?
Well, as I've repeated a few times, first of all, thanks for having me. It never gets old. Mm-hmm. Everyone is special. You know, this is not my first, but it's some of our kids' first. But I think more importantly, in this particular year, the year when, you know, we didn't get to play last year and we didn't get to play out of conference. And, you know, we had to just go through hoop after hoop. And we played every conference team, which is something we haven't done in a while. We've had to play, you know, a schedule that can include the whole conference. It is pretty cool. As I was thinking about it as we were about to clinch in this season to win it, is pretty darn cool. I think our kids were extraordinary. And we have had, you know, a lot of obstacles. Pauses that didn't seem like they fit what was going on. You know, we've had kids that had to sit out and we had to live without. And our kids have just stayed focused on the task. You know, kids, no excuses, no sitting back and feeling sorry for ourselves. And I'm really proud of our athletes and really proud of our senior class. They really hung it together for this program and for Michigan.
And I've been around not as many student athletes as you have, but every time I'm around and they're faced with the challenge, and as you mentioned it, this year there's been more than ever. Do you ever look at your student athletes and think, you know what, they're just so resilient? Are you ever surprised by them?
No, to be honest, I said this really last April. And, you know, once we realized this was real and we were sitting out, and I'm like, you can do this because you're so much stronger than you know. And you don't learn about your ability to be resilient until you have to be resilient. Because it's always a choice you make. You know, you can choose to lose the situation, or you can choose to win it. And everybody has it in them. This entire generation will come out much stronger, much more equipped than previous generations to handle the world. Because the world is a challenge. I mean, it's not all easy when you get out into the real world. You have challenges your entire life. You know, we had a former student athlete who graduated and led us to the World Series back in the 90s, 97, who's battling brain cancer. I mean, he came and talked to the team the other day and just talked about how the lessons he learns on the field. And I remember, I said, you guys, I went through this journey with her. And it wasn't all easy and roses, but she learned how to shine. And that's when, you know, stars are born through adversity. And now she's winning the battle against brain cancer at this point. And I'm telling you, it takes a special person. And she learned a lot of the values by the adversity she, you know, earned on the softball field.
How important is that for you? I remember as a student athlete when former guys would come in and talk to the team, or they were just out of practice because they wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to be able to talk to some of the players. How important is that for you and your program to have that legacy of your student athletes, even after they move on, they come back and they want to continue the relationship they built with you, but also build relationships with the current team?
Well, I can tell you my greatest joy in what I do for a living is my alumni base and all the kids that I have impacted my life. I mean, you know, I'm here to impact their life, but I can tell you that they've impacted my life, and staying in relationships with all of them and watching them grow into the successful, strong women that they've become. And I said, you become on the field. It starts on the field, but I'm most thrilled that our former players come back and want to be a part of our program and want to come back to our games and want to come back and talk to our student athletes. And I think it's really important for the current student athletes because, as I say, your goal is to leave the program better than you found it. And they need to understand that the program didn't start just because they just walked on campus. And they learn that. It's one of the things we teach. We teach that, those traditions. And every student athlete who comes in the door as a freshman writes an essay, and they have to research the history of their number, the number they chose to wear, and they need to know about every player that ever wore it and what they've accomplished. And maybe they were all Big Ten, maybe they're academic all Big Ten, maybe they're a doctor now, or they're a lawyer, or a teacher, or a mother, you know, so they understand that number is not theirs. They are honored to have the privilege to wear it.
Are they allowed to ask you about their number?
Well, sir, they are. It's actually gotten a little harder to research now that we don't have media guides anymore.
Yes.
It's gotten a little bit harder to research. But I go through and they'll miss a few people in the number. And, you know, I still remember most former players in their numbers. As I've gotten a little bit older, it's getting a little harder for me to remember them all. But, you know, and what they've accomplished, and I want them to know the things that number represents. And I don't retire numbers. I think the greatest honor you can have is to wear a former All-American's number. And I always remind them of that when they're going through their moments of being self-absorbed. This isn't about you. This is about Michigan.
Yeah, I would agree with you on all of those points, because I remember when I finally got the number that I settled on, I did. There was a pressure, there was a pride, there was a standard that you learned in having to live up to the expectations that those who wore it before. And now that I'm a former athlete, I look back and I look at everybody that's worn it, and every time that I see somebody wear 77, I think, gosh, I hope he is better than me. And it has happened many times, and it sure makes you proud when you see somebody who does something special wearing your number. There's just something very unique about that. Let's talk a little bit about your senior class. I know everybody on your team has gone through the trials and tribulations of the last year, but your seniors, you know, if there's one thing that you look forward to, and I know you preach this, you play for your seniors, it's their last opportunity. That was, I don't want to say stolen, but they weren't able to have that moment last year. What did it mean for you and for your seniors, and how have you seen them handle this situation over the past 12 months?
Well, this senior class, and it's seven strong. We have two super seniors, two returners from, that were seniors last year and got another chance, Katie Hogenrod and Thais Gonzalez. And then five in this original class. And, you know, really two in that class, Megan Bobian and Natalia Rodriguez, were day-to-day players from the day they got here. The other three really didn't get much time over the years. It was kind of spot starting and things that we thought they would do. And I would say their careers weren't necessarily working out as well as they probably thought or hoped, and as I thought or hoped. This is their year, and they shine, and they got it together. And they did it through a very adverse time when we just limitations after limitations. And I can tell you that watching them grow and grow into the women they've become and the players they've become, but really great Michigan women. And they've gelled together, they've worked together, and to keep us moving forward. And every time we hit a bump in the road, they have been the kids who are like, it's okay, we got this. We're going to get it done. They believe in themselves, and they don't let the little things get them down. I've been really, really impressed by this senior class. I have just been thrilled to watch them grow up and grow into the kind of Michigan women that win championships, because that's how you win championships. You have to have a senior class that is compelled and driven, and we've really seen that this year with that group. It's been, I'm just thrilled and honored to be a part of them.
How much, you mentioned some of those seniors that had breakout seasons this year, Lou Allen and Taylor Bump, right Absolutely. Now are tied for 10 in terms of the home run lead. How much friendly rivalry is there going on in the competition between the two of them?
Well, it's my understanding they've got a little smack talk going on with each other, and I, for one, love it.
Yes.
And Lou came up yesterday. The game was on the line. It was a 1-1 tie game in the bottom of the sixth. She was our leadoff hitter. She was 2-for-2 on the day, and I really didn't expect Rutgers to give her a chance, and I don't think they were trying to give her a chance, but I'm thinking, man, you're one behind Bump right now, and sure enough, she popped over the fence. So, I like their competitions. Even, 10 home runs, you certainly see people out there that have more, but we didn't really start the home run onslaught until, we got well into the season. We definitely, I don't know how many home runs we hit in our first 12 games. I think two, and none of them were by those two. Out of the first 12 games, we played 42 total. So it is impressive because we have just gotten better and better, and those two in particular. Have just, Lou started off pretty slow and just picked it up, and just she's been just the Lou Allen that we recruited because she's a pure hitter.
So Allen and Bump, you mentioned, or I mentioned the 10 home runs and the fact that your offense has really become more explosive and it's picked up throughout the season. What do you attribute that development to?
Well, I think more than anything, we have worked really hard as a staff. Once we identified that our pitching staff was elite, Alex Sirocco and Megan Bobian are two of the finest pitchers, not just in the conference, but nationally. And yet our offense was definitely not where we needed it to be at all. And when you have that kind of pitching staff, you don't always have to have, the best offense in the country, but we needed better. And we just went to work with it. We got on page. We just needed to get better in our at-bats. And honestly, it wasn't lost on me that we had, again, I mentioned our day-to-day players that have a lot of experience. Our freshmen had no at-bat experience. Mm-hmm. Our sophomores had very little college at-bat experience because only one sophomore had played regularly in our first 23 games last year. And then our junior class, Lexi Blair, obviously one of our great players, has had a number of at-bats. And Hannah Carson had begun to start as a sophomore last year. So she had her first 20 games of, at bat, not a lot, And then our seniors. Again, Callie Rodriguez was the only senior in the lineup that had had a number of college at-bats. So we were very young offensively, very young. Learning to hit, I mean, kids come in, the freshmen, they can hit, they can swing. They have to learn how to hit at this level because pitching is a whole new ball game for them. And learning how to manage their at-bats and, you know, it's a process and it takes a while. It takes more than a year. It takes your whole 4 years as you keep perfecting it. And, you know, so we working on their swing and we had to work on their pitch management. And one thing we spent a lot of time on was just as many at-bats we could get off our own pitchers throughout the whole fall and winter preseason. We had more at-bat situations than we had ever had.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
When you look at where your team is now as opposed to either the hills and the valleys that you experience throughout a season, is this – are you peaking at the right time as you approach regionals?
Well, I think we have been playing, without a doubt, our best ball. And our best weekend up in Minnesota last weekend, we were just clicking as a group. They were unfazed. They were having fun. We are so good when we just have fun and they enjoy each other. And whether they're having friendly competitions in the dugout and those kind of things, that's what I want to see us finish in the postseason. I thought we did pretty well with that this weekend. And we had a couple tight games with Rutgers, and I could sense that, you know, we're very contagious offensively in particular. And we needed some spark to get us sparking. And yesterday's game, we just didn't have it. So I had Lou Allen, thank goodness. But we still find a way to win, and good teams find a way to win without always their best game. But, you know, I do. I like this group. I think they gel well together. And that really does bode well for us.
And you mentioned your two elite pitchers, Megan Bobian and Alex Storaco. What is it that makes them elite? Is it speed? Is it placement? Is it what is it that makes them elite?
Well, you've got to start with mindset because you've got to have an elite mindset to have any opportunity to be elite. And that's something that, you know, pitchers learn under the tutelage of our great pitching coach, Jen Brundage. Nobody is better at it than Jen in teaching kids now how not to do more than just spin the ball. But, and what makes them is, you know, Megan Bobian's lefty look and her ability to jam you up and then put it outside, and then she can mix the change. She can go to all four corners. But she's an elite mindset, and she has been since the day she got here. I mean, she was a national finalist her freshman of the year, the national freshman of the year, her freshman year. And that was 4 years ago. And she has just maintained a high level her entire career. And then Alex Duraco has gone from good to great, again, because her mindset has gone from good to great. And she is a spin pitcher with unbelievable movement and late, late bite. And that's really what makes her. And she's picked up speed, but I think she went from good to great because she challenged herself, and she'll tell you the story. Her last pitch of the season last year, unbeknownst to us, we didn't know it was our last game. We were intentionally walking because the winning run was on third base, and Alex threw a wild pitch, and we lost. And, you know, that propelled her. I said, you can take experiences like that, and they can weigh you down, or it can propel you to the next level. And I really believe that is a changing moment for her because that propelled her, and she worked her tail off, and You know, she works hard in the weight room. She's increased her strength. She's a big, strong kid, tall, long levers. And, you know, those are, again, the growth you want to see out of your players. That's exactly what we're doing. And people say, what do you do all year? That's what we do.
And I know that pretty soon you guys are going to take off for Seattle, where you're going to be in the regionals and you're going to face Seattle to start the regionals off. But also in that same regional is Washington and Portland State. And I'll ask you about the seeding in just a little bit. But when you look at those teams, what do you see ahead of you?
Well, you know, I haven't had much look at Seattle yet, obviously. We found out at 10 o'clock last night. Mm-hmm. We are now searching for what we can find out about them. And, you know, honestly, I'd like to know enough about the other team in case there's anything we need to know. Largely, what do their pitchers throw so we can prepare for their pitchers. Mm-hmm. But I always tell my kids, if we can stay internal and focus on our dugout and only the people in our bubble, because we're the only ones who matter. It doesn't matter what everybody else out there is saying. We have got to have a mindset that is one. So we've got to keep them on page. And the most important thing we do when we win championships, when we won the national championship, we were focused on us. We didn't make it about the other team. So we will not, we'll prepare to play good softball because the game is three out, seven innings. It's pitch, catch, hit, throw. I mean, we just want to do those things as well as we can. We just need to play good softball.
So I have women's softball coach Carol Hutchins with us right now on Conquering Heroes, and you guys just won your 22nd Big Ten title. And there is, I've said this before, and I want to make sure that you know the fans, the alumni, and it doesn't matter the sport, it doesn't matter if they played sports or not, are so proud of this program and what you have been able to do with your student athletes, your guidance, your especially over this time of so many challenges with that the pandemic has exposed, whether it's been racial equity, whether it's been gender issues that we see time, you know, day in, day out with the NCAA, with the Big Ten. We've seen issues with leadership, whether it's in the NCAA or the Big Ten level. As you heard last night that you guys were going to be traveling out to Seattle, what was your feeling of knowing that that was your seeding, that this is how the dominoes were going to fall for your team?
Well, you know, I'm not in that room, but I thought I expressed my dismay over the NCAA bracket, and it starts with leadership, so the NCAA leadership. And I have to say that the Big Ten champion is traveling as far away as you can possibly go. And people don't realize how difficult travel is at this time of year. We book last-minute flights. We'll spend all day Wednesday getting there and miss a day of practice, and et cetera, et cetera. And Washington was seeded 16th. They've been in the top 10 all year. Their pitcher is an Olympian from Australia, and they have had a tremendous year. And they lost two games in February, is I believe what they said. I'm like, what is going on in that selection room? Because I haven't seen too many people that think it was a really great job. And these are really important things. Mm-hmm. And they've made way too much of the RPI, a tool that doesn't even begin to work for the Big Ten. The RPI is a screwdriver, and we only had a hammer. We didn't get to play out of conference, and they said they weren't going to penalize us. Yet, we didn't get anybody seated, not the Big Ten champion. And our number three team is a four seed down in their regional. And they only put three teams in. So, I don't think they did their due process and diligence. We have had 4 to 6 teams selected every year for the last 10 years. And what's the difference this year? There's only one difference. We didn't get to get all the bonus points that go with RPI. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what I say about that. So we're both seated in the wrong regional, but we have to move on from that because at this point, we've got games to play. and we got to compete on the field.
I know you felt this way. I'm sure your student athletes have felt this way. I've seen it on social media. I've seen it written in the papers. And you can't shield, nor probably do you want to, your student athletes from seeing what is being talked about. They are very smart individuals. They perceive it the same way as everybody else does. How do you get them to lock in and put that all behind and focus on the task at hand?
Well, I think our kids have been absolutely outstanding in that area this whole year. They haven't let one adversity affect their ability to be on the field. I am really proud of them, as I mentioned earlier. They haven't let one bit of adversity during all the pandemic issues we have affect them. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, though, I mean, I think it was Michael Jordan who got cut from his high school team and spent the rest of his life proving that he was wrong. You know, and I think more than anything, it certainly can become a motivation, and we can't shield them from social media. My goodness, I wish I could, but it's all over the place, and we have to now shut it out. And I told them everything we have to say, we say in our locker room. That's it. My kids are not allowed to talk about this. It's, you know, my job to discuss issues like this and nobody else's. And people can have all the opinions they want. We have to play ball. And that will be definitely very clear in keeping them on that task because, you know what, we get a chance to play and we get a chance to win. We're going to have to go out there. And it doesn't really matter where we would have gone. And even if we stayed in Ann Arbor, we were going to have a tough, tough draw. We were going to have somebody come in that was equal to the task. And every team you play, we learned the hard way in softball. Every team you play can beat you. You know, any team. So we will not look 1 minute past Seattle until we get through that game.
Well, Coach, I know you guys, you got to travel on Wednesday, as you said. The tournament for you, regional, will start on Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. And everybody that can find it will find it, and they're going to be rooting you guys on. Best of luck, safe travels, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you, John.
Thanks,
Great
Coach.
Michigan man.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'd like to thank Coach Hutchins for giving of her time. I know she's busy. They're getting ready to travel out to Seattle to take on Seattle in their first game of the regionals. If you want to catch it, it will be at 8 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. Tune in to see Big Blue go for a regional championship. And then, obviously, if they are able to get through the regionals, they got the super regionals and then the Women's College World Series to follow. We'll give you and bring you all the information we possibly can here on Conquering Heroes.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. M Go Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.